You're listening to Into the Blender, episode 3.
3 already? Oh, we're this many. I'm holding up 3 fingers.
Made it through the terrible 2.
Just barely, and I'm still feeling kind of rambunctious. I may yet throw a fit.
Hide the candy.
Oh, no.
Stop messing with me. You're not missing a thing. You keep going and I'm just showing that I never stop to think.
You're listening to End of the Blender with your hosts, Chooch and Viv.
You can hear us each week discussing topics ranging from co-parenting a blended family to gaming to technology news.
And whatever else catches our fancy this week.
It really doesn't matter at all.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of End of the Blender. I'm Chooch.
And I'm Viv. Thanks for coming back to another conversation with us regarding our blended family life. And we kind of alluded last week to how we met and how we initially blended together.
Yeah.
And so I think probably that's what we should just talk about today and save news and other stuff like that for maybe
for
next
week.
Yeah. Aw. Jinx.
Soulmate.
So let's just tell our story.
All right. The main topic this week is how we started our blender and the first time that I met the kids and the family and all that. And I think this is one question that a lot of people have when they're starting to date after a divorce and having kids, is when is the best time to introduce the kids? Depicted in a lot of movies, you have a lot of women of suspect moral values
and men
who end up having somewhat of a flop house and people coming in and out.
Yeah.
And I think that's clearly not healthy for children
right. To
see.
Who's your daddy this week?
Right. And, of course, there's a lot of schools of thought of when is the appropriate time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for us, with like most things, it's kind of a balanced thing and kind of a play by ear of just what feels right.
Right.
Which is exactly what we did.
Yeah, we talked a lot. I mean, for those that don't remember, we met through work and I was on the East Coast and Chooch was on the West Coast. And we met and started talking on the phone for months and months and months and months and months before we finally were able to go on a date.
Mm-hmm.
And then we dated for about 3 months.
Right.
Where, while dated, we saw each other like once a month. But
right.
We were on the phone from anywhere from 2 hours a day to more likely six to eight hours a day.
It was
so much talking that I used to joke that before we went on our first date, we had been dating for 6 months because
right.
we had so many hours. I mean, if you just logged the hours, we knew so much about each other. We had so much in common.
Well, we had a lot of friendly lunches with friends beforehand.
Right.
And then a lot of email, a lot of company time, instant messaging.
We did nothing inappropriate with our work time.
And a lot of after-hour instant messaging.
Yeah.
And emailing and telephone conversations.
So many hours, it was ridiculous.
So I think what kicked off our actual dating would be probably your birthday.
My birthday, my favorite birthday. It was the best birthday of my life.
So at that point, we were just friendly and, you know, go out together with a lot of other people.
Yeah.
And Viv's birthday came up and I agonized and agonized and agonized over whether I should send something or not. I thought as a friend, I should say something surely. And I wanted her to know that I really liked her.
Aww.
But I was nervous about heading into creepy territory in case she didn't like me and we were just friends.
Yeah.
What would be too much? So I went online and I bought a bouquet of flowers. And I knew that her favorite color was purple.
Mm-hmm.
So I picked a bouquet that had just lots of purple stuff. I think I spent more money than I should have. Definitely more than a friend would have. And I was hoping that she wouldn't, you know, read, I don't know.
Scary stuff.
I was so scared. I know. And I wanted you to know that I had feelings for you, but I didn't want you to
freak.
Be offended.
Yeah.
And be freaked out.
Well, and for my part, we had this time together, these lunches together, all these frequent conversations, and mm-hmm. there was like a vibe mm-hmm. that I really felt, having just come out of almost 10 year marriage with two kids, and the marriage just evaporating, and I had such anxiety, and mm-hmm. I was freaked. We both were. We were like scared little, just little meerkats peeking around, trying to figure out what was what. So, you know, he sends this bouquet, and I went out for my birthday lunch with our two friends, our two mm-hmm. best friends at the time. And we came back, and there was a bouquet of flowers. And because I was so pathetic the year before on my birthday, my first birthday as a single mom, mm-hmm. My parents had gotten me a flower bouquet and sent it to work. Mm-hmm. So when I got back to work, I saw a bouquet of flowers at the security desk, and I was like, they're for me, aren't they? And so I went running over, and our male friend went ahead and headed into the office, and my female friend stayed with me. And so I'm walking, and I'm like, oh, it's so cool. And I open the card, and it's not from mom and dad. It's from a man. And he wrote a really nice card and mm-hmm. signed it, you know, just not an I love you or let's date. It was just I could tell you were very careful with the phrasing of it.
I think it concluded just like cheers.
Cheers and your name. You said some birthday wish and then cheers. And so I was sitting there trying to read into it because, oh my God, it had orchids and it was this beautiful bouquet and easily the most beautiful bouquet I've ever gotten. Mm. And I was like, well, he sent me flowers, so he likes me, but the card, what does it mean? So it was like a really big moment for both of us.
Yeah.
It was really silly and sweet and cute and bashful. And I was blushing the whole rest of the day. And my girlfriend was just wreaking havoc. And and I called, as, of course, a courteous young woman does. I mm-hmm. called Chooch to say thank you for the flowers. And I could hear my best friend on the other side of our, you know, highly private cubicle wall, giggling and laughing. And apparently she was instant messaging you
mm-hmm.
and just
I forgot about that.
Raking you over the coals. And I'm sitting there going, okay, well, thanks. And you're just really quiet. And really, and I'm like, oh, I read too much into this. You know, what's the protocol here? And she was giggling, and I didn't find out till later that she had you on instant messaging and was torturing you. So I just thought, well, I just made this even more awkward. I shouldn't have called, but you have to call. So anyways, that was the big step.
Yeah. And that really kicked off a lot more direct dialogue.
Yes.
Where before it was the friendly group stuff.
Yeah.
And now it was a lot more.
Yeah.
Where we started talking more personally mm-hmm. and still totally as friends.
Right.
And I don't remember if I had another trip that was just friends going out. I know we had one conversation where I said, I would like for us to go out.
I don't think that we saw each other again until, because that was the middle of September, mid mm-hmm. to end of September, my birthday. And because of other events, I'm pretty sure that we did not see each other.
Yeah.
Until it was shortly after my birthday, because I remember it was a good couple of weeks that you had said, I'm coming up for this conference, and, mm-hmm. you know, you asked me out on a date.
I said, I think we should go out, and, you know, oh, yeah, you know, yeah, well, I'll do something. Like, well, I think maybe just we should go do something.
Scared me your cat. So, yeah, it was a good several weeks that I was, like, freaking out, where we were talking for hours mm-hmm. and hours and hours and hours. But then, you know, I would get panicked because I hadn't dated in over a decade mm-hmm. and I was scared of getting hurt again.
Yeah.
And if it weren't for the conversations, those 6, 8 hour, 10 hour conversations that we were having, I would have backed out big time.
Yeah.
You know, if we hadn't been so connected, mm-hmm. I totally would have chickened out. It would have been so easy to chicken out. But we both were tough and strong. And knowing you as I know you now, you must have been terrified. Yeah,
absolutely.
We did. We went, oh, and remember our first date?
Oh, yeah.
We went to see The Ring, the most romantic first date movie. I can't even remember why we ended up there. Was it because we wanted to see it or just because there wasn't anything else? I was so nervous. I can't remember. But we walked into the movie theater and my sister, who also worked with me and knew Chooch and knew the whole story. And my niece, who at the time was like 14 or 13. Yeah. And I guess she was 14, and they had gone to see The Ring also. And as we walked in and sat down, we hear this, hi, and turn around, and there's my sister and my niece. And it's like, not only are they here on our first date, but they're sitting behind us.
Yeah.
So it was
interesting.
It was every inch. That whole like experience was a test of our ability to be able to like persevere with through our fears. So we went crazy, fell in love. So when it came time, Chooch has a son. I have two sons. Mm-hmm. And because my sons live with me, it was kind of more of an immediate need for Chooch to meet the boys than for me to meet Chooch's son because, you know, he doesn't live with them.
Yeah.
We were dating about 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was 2 months, January.
Okay.
So it was 2 months that we had been dating. And he was coming out for another, you were coming out for another work trip.
Mm-hmm.
And we had decided that after 9,000 hours of conversation, we were so serious about each other.
Yeah.
And it was just a matter of how we were going to implement the move, not if we were going to implement the move, because we really wanted to be together.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, before you do that kind of thing, you have to make sure that people meld together, that they fit, because, you know, your first commitment is to your children. So we had arranged for a dinner at a place that my kids loved called Damon's. I'm sure some of you know it. On, I think it was Tuesday nights. It was either Tuesday nights or Wednesday nights. We don't live near one now.
Because they have the kid night with cartoons on the big screens.
Right. They had big, huge, gigantic projection screens. And most of the time they showed sports. But on Tuesday or Wednesday night, whatever kids night was, they would put cartoons on the different channels. And so you'd go in there and you'd drop a small fortune and your kids would get to watch cartoons while they ate. And it was quite the treat. So we decided to go with friends.
Right. So the kids would have other people that they knew.
Right.
To make it a little less awkward for them.
Right. My two best friends, your soon probably best friends at that point, other than your roommate. So we decided, you know, neutral ground with people that they were familiar with. And we went out to dinner and Chooch got little token gifts for them, not like an Xbox or anything big. And I'm trying to buy your love or anything like that. It was just a very low key thing. And Chooch was so nervous. The boys were so nervous.
Yeah.
It was so agonizing. And so it was stressful, but they really liked him. I mean, he's, you know, he's like a big kid. He's like a big mature kid, which is even more rare. But, so it was a really nice experience, and that was on a Wednesday night. So kids' night was Wednesday night.
Yeah,
it was a Wednesday
night.
And my youngest, T, who at that point was 5, almost 6,
almost
his birthday was the next week. He had been sick. Both of them had been sick. Both of the boys had been sick. And, M at the time was, I think, 11. T was 5. And both had been sick. And M had been tested for strep and been given antibiotics. T would not tolerate the strep test. So we weren't sure that he had strep or not.
Right.
And so they went ahead and gave him antibiotics. Well, over the preceding week, he had an allergic reaction to the antibiotics and got very sick from it. So they switched him on antibiotics. And he was on his second. He was on Zithromax at that point, and he was very sick from, he was having another allergic reaction. And so going through this illness through the whole time of Chooch's visit. And so we went out to dinner with him on Wednesday night. Friday night was the night
to meet the parents
that Chooch met my parents, mom and dad. Chooch and my two boys and I went out to dinner at another favorite restaurant, keep the kids happy, a Mexican restaurant. And my mother fell in love with Chooch. She just thought he hung the moon. It was amazing. She just instantly adored him.
It was a great dinner.
It was. It was a great dinner. Everybody was really happy. T was not feeling well.
Yeah.
So he spent most of the night stretched out with his head on my lap, not feeling well. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we kind of ended it a little early because the goal was for you to meet them.
Right.
For my mother to fall in love with you. And as she would frequently accuse me later, she would let me know that you were just dating me to get to her.
Right.
Because you guys were meant to be. My dad thought that was hilarious. Mm-hmm. But so we ended up going back to, at this point, the guys really liked Chooch. And they had a common language with the games and stuff.
Yeah. They invited me to come back and watch a movie.
Yeah, they did. So Chooch came back to my townhouse that I had with my two boys. And T kept getting sicker and sicker. And he was throwing up. And we, again, thought, oh, good Lord, he's allergic to this set of antibiotics. Mm-hmm. Also, he'd been on them for 3 days. And I was on the phone with the doctor's office several times that night. And the pediatrician said, well, just bring him in the morning. I'm going to be there tomorrow morning, Saturday morning hours. Mm-hmm. So come in. But if he continues to throw up, go ahead and take him to the emergency room. And he has little spots on him. He's got like this red rash, mm-hmm. and he's throwing up, which is allergic reaction with my experience.
Right.
So we're going on this presumption that we just need to get him through the night and we'll take him to the doctor. And he's okay. The doctor thought he was fine. It was nothing else. Don't give him any more of the medication. Make him comfortable. Keep him hydrated.
Right.
Well, what was it? Like 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock. Mm-hmm. He came out of the bathroom. And mind you, he's 5 years old. He's about literally a week from turning 6. Mm-hmm. I don't monitor their peeing at that point. You know, he's self-sufficient. He goes and he handles his business and he flushes. And all I have to do is remind him to wash his hands. At one point, I happen to be walking by to check on him. He's walking out of the bathroom and he says, mm-hmm. oh, yeah, Mom, my pee's red.
Yeah.
By the way, my pee's red. Wait, what? wait, what? So that was the first time. And he said it had been red in his 5-year-old mind mm-hmm. since he had seen his dad, which was Christmas, mm-hmm. which was, you know, a month before. And I was just like, oh my gosh. So I didn't even call the pediatrician. I looked at Chooch and I said, this is a lot to ask. I need to take him to the emergency room. Can you stay with M? Mm-hmm. And I'll go. So thinking that we would go, he would test him. He would have antibiotics or something. And we'd be home in a couple of hours, knowing right. that they rush kids through pediatric ER. They really fast track them. Mm-hmm. So we get there and we run all the tests. And without going too deep into his illness, he had something that we eventually decided was probably post-strep glomerulonephritis, which is basically where some people with some types of strep, sometimes their bodies attack their organs. Mm-hmm. And in his case, and we don't know for sure, but because he's better, we've made the assumption and didn't do the biopsies on him, was that his body attacked his kidneys,
right.
which caused his kidneys to have like a 3/4 shutdown. And he was anemic and he had hypertension. His heart rate, his blood pressure was fluctuating around 200/100. Mm-hmm. And I did say 200/100. Yeah. And so they ended up medevacking he and I to a better hospital that was better able to handle this because he was very, very sick and they yeah. were afraid he would not make it in the ambulance because mm-hmm. he was so dehydrated. So instead of being home in a couple of hours, I had to call Chooch and say, they're taking us by helicopter.
Right.
Holy crap. And, you know, T was delirious and weak and terrified and still throwing mm-hmm. up. And it was just a horrible night. So Chooch stayed with M mm-hmm. while I went. And I called my mother at 2 o'clock in the morning as I was trying to convince them to let me go on the helicopter with T, which they didn't want to let me do. Right. So my mother came up and met me at the hospital. And then she drove to the hospital, which was about an hour and a half away that they mm-hmm. were taking us to. And all the while, Chooch is there at the house with M.
Right.
So
and
they
trying to keep him calm and like, right. oh, they're going to be a little longer. They yeah. want to do some extra tests. And so we were playing video games
yeah.
and then I got him ready for bed
yeah.
and got him into bed.
Yeah. So you had like, it was unusual. This is one of the funny things is that we kind of said, okay, meet the kids, fast forward.
Right.
You are now taking care of the children in the middle of a family medical crisis.
Right.
So then I had I can't even remember how it was all coordinated because I was at this new hospital in the pediatric intensive care unit with my 5-year-old, mm-hmm. wondering if he was going to make it through the night. And so we coordinated getting M to my ex-husband's parents
right.
for the rest of the weekend and so that they could take care of him. And then our friends, our best friends, brought Chooch up to help me out at the hospital.
Right.
And so you actually came up there the next day and stayed with us there.
Yep. We ran to, actually we made a quick stop to Toys R Us and got him a couple of video games. So we thought it's got to be really
poor sick
scary.
Baby. Yeah.
And he's going to be stressed and bored and
right.
who knows what.
Yeah.
So we got to make a little video games and a stuffed animal. And then,
yeah. Just really spoiled him when you guys showed up. And my best friends at the time, they were called aunt and uncle.
Mm-hmm.
They were aunt and uncle to them. They were very close. So they brought Chooch up with an armload of stuff to keep him, the poor boy, entertained.
Yeah. And I remember some stuff for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Comfort stuff for me at the
yeah.
hospital. That was awesome. So then M stayed with my former in-laws
mm-hmm.
and my mom was with me until you got there. And
right.
then she felt like you were better help for me. And she was like, what can I do to help? So she went to my house and did my weekend laundry because
mm-hmm.
we had no clothes. It was Friday. Everything was dirty. So she actually went home and did some stuff for me, ran errands for me that I needed done.
Yeah.
And you stayed at the hospital with me and T until you had to return home. So
right.
we got there. I got there at like 4 a.m. Saturday morning on the helicopter with T.
Mm-hmm.
You got there that afternoon and you stayed with us there until
right.
Monday when you had to leave.
Right.
Right.
And within that time, your ex-husband had come by.
Well, but even more importantly, there were several days. Because I don't think that he didn't get there until Sunday.
Oh, right.
So it was all day Saturday and all day Sunday with me finally collapsing in exhaustion at one point, and you totally entertained him and kept him going, and
yeah.
you two bonded so intensely. You and T bonded.
Yeah.
So intensely.
They had a reclining bed thing
mm-hmm.
for one person that they allowed you to stay in with the room with him, and then there was a waiting room that we had a cot they rolled into.
Right.
So I could hang out and lay out on the cot.
Yeah.
And
so it was not inappropriate. We were very, very
yeah.
careful. We were very aware of the fact that we were not a married couple, that you
mm-hmm.
were not T's father. You were there to support me in supporting him.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did very appropriate things. We didn't
yeah.
like camp out in his room together.
Yeah.
But you were there. You made a huge sacrifice that weekend and spent the whole time in the PICU unit, you know, helping
mm-hmm.
us. And
so while you were napping, then I would make sure that he had juice and little things you needed to keep him hydrated.
Yeah, that was
they
big.
Had a mobile Nintendo system
that
they
awesome.
Would roll into the room for a few hours at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And so he would, they had one game that he really liked, so he taught me to play that and really
yep.
enjoyed beating me up in the arena.
Right.
And a motorcycle game that we would race around in.
Yeah.
And I had my work laptop.
Yeah.
And so I had brought some movies in
mm-hmm.
so we could watch movies. And he hadn't experienced
yeah.
that before.
No, I didn't have a laptop.
Wow, that's just the coolest thing.
Yeah.
Sit here and watch a movie.
You very much impressed him.
So we had a lot of time talking about, you know, what he liked about school and then what the different media things he was into and the games he was into. And that was an amazing experience. Talk about
yeah.
a kickstart.
I mean, it was very, it was kind of like our first date. We'd already been together for so long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the second time that you saw T, you were a support system for him that within hours of that,
mm-hmm.
because not only were we sitting there and watching movies with him, but he was going through these horrible tests. When you have a child that's sick, they really took it very seriously and did all kinds of tests, you know, and, you know, he was 5, about to turn 6.
Mm-hmm.
And, I wasn't his birthday party the next day. Wasn't
yeah,
his party supposed
it.
To be the day that he was in the hospital?
Yep.
So everybody came, God loved them. It was
mm-hmm.
amazing. Such an outpouring of love as you would hope for your baby. Everybody visited him at the hospital and brought him birthday presents mm-hmm. as a hospital present, which later turned into quite the coup because yeah. I held his actual birthday party in February at Chuck E. Cheese and he got a whole nother onslaught yeah. of presents. Everybody was like, that poor baby, just give. He raked it in that year.
Yeah.
Because Christmas and then his birthday and then his birthday party, yeah. you know.
But while he was in the hospital, it was great to have all these things because then he had an art kit.
Oh, yeah.
So.
The art kit.
He could show yeah. me his drawings and characters yeah. he liked to create. And
but you were there for the blood draws. He was having blood draws several times a day.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really terrifying for him. This is a child that didn't even want to do a swab to the back of his throat right. for a strep test. The blood draws were terrifying for
yeah.
him. And you were there holding one hand and I was holding the other, soothing him. So mm-hmm. you really became a major support system right away. It was, you never want anything like that to happen. You hope that your kids will love the person that you love and that all of that will mm-hmm. work. But very, very quickly, you became a major source of support for them.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like the only good thing that happened out of all of that.
Mm.
So that really sped up our whole courtship, I think, because, you know, my ex then got there and it was the day before you were leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you guys got to meet. And although it was very awkward because my ex didn't know I was dating, I mean, I had just introduced right. you to the kids. Why would I call my ex who lived in another state and say, by the way, I'm dating and the boys have
right.
met him? He was remarried at that point.
Yeah.
And I didn't,
yeah.
you know, he didn't call me to say I'm dating now. So I truly didn't feel any obligation.
Right.
So I think the first time he mentioned his girlfriend, fiance, wife to me was, I'm moving from here to there where she lives in another state to mm-hmm. get married. I think that was the first conversation we had about her. So,
yeah,
I didn't feel like I needed to inform him of anything. We weren't even engaged or anything at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys met, and while it was awkward and uncomfortable, and there were opinions that it was inappropriate for you to be there, he saw that you were a good guy. He saw that you were there for tea
mm-hmm.
and that you were a support system. And, you know, now it's 5 years later and clearly,
right.
you know, that wasn't a whim. That wasn't a, you know, me just bringing my boyfriend of the day up along
right.
with me, you know? So, I mean, that was very awkward, but it fast forwarded that process too, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awkward.
Interesting circumstances.
It was so awkward.
The ex and his parents.
Oh, that's
and
right.
His sisters and their husbands.
Yeah, that was like, welcome to the family. You met all of them. Yeah. Enough said. It was very awkward and
uncomfortable.
They
were very nice too.
Yeah.
Since he had already been there and talked to them, when they showed up, they had all of this food and stuff and
yeah.
brought stuff for me as well. And
oh, that's cool. I don't even remember that.
So it was some awkward conversations, but
yeah.
All surrounding tea and
yeah.
focused on
and
on
giving
him
the love.
Needed.
Because he literally had his sixth birthday in the hospital. He was in the PICU unit for 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
And over that 5 day period was his sixth birthday. So there was that added pressure of how do you make a very, very, very sick little boy feel special and not scared on his birthday when,
mm-hmm.
you know, they woke him up at 7 a.m. to do a blood draw.
Yeah.
And that was Tuesday. You had left the day before.
Well,
you, God bless
I
you.
Had to leave from the hospital to my friend's house that I had been staying at to get
yeah.
my bags and everything, and then rush to the airport
yeah.
and head out. And I almost didn't leave the hospital.
That was
I was going to just call in sick for the next week
yeah.
and just stay.
That was very intense. But
we decided the responsible thing to do. There were plenty of people there to take care
yeah.
of Viv and plenty of people there to take care of T.
It was really a hard, awkward decision to make because I really wanted you there. I think that was very clear
mm-hmm.
that I wanted you there. But because of the newness of the relationship, the fact that you had a son that lived in a different state from
mm-hmm.
you, that you needed to save your, you know, leave accrual
right.
so that you could take off from work and go visit him.
Mm-hmm.
That was big in my mind. And just the whole trying to support T in a way would have as little stress as possible, knowing that his dad was going to be here for a week.
Mm-hmm.
And the decision that we made is, it was so hard, but it was, I think, the right decision the
mm-hmm.
way it worked out
yeah.
was that you went ahead and left on Monday to go home, report to work the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And T's dad was here for the next week. And that was awkward, but we just all focused our attention on T and given him the love and nurturing and support, and we held our disagreements to the side when he wasn't around because there was some awkwardness. He was newly married, and his wife was home pregnant, and she was not too thrilled that he was here instead of being there with her, and we had some difficulty, but you know, we overcame it all and worked out some stuff that I think has smoothed things for us in the process since then. So it was very, I mean, it could not have been a more awkward trial by fire. Run if you have any brains for the door and escape while you still can. So that was our highly accelerated blending. And that, so that's why when we talk about going into the blender, it's not a metaphor for us. Yeah. It's fact.
We started on puree. And we did. Then slowed it down.
There was no rough chop. It was grind. It wasn't even grind. It was just a whipping and a pureeing. It was really immediate the way that we all came together. Mm-hmm. And my mother just adored you more and more and more the way that you stood by us. And, you know, were so adoring of T when he was going through so much. So it was just a very intense time. And it's one of those things where you don't want to test people. You don't want to challenge people just to see what they'll do. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not an ultimatum girl. I'm not a prove yourself to me kind of girl, I don't think. But you sure did. You just absolutely did, where any other guy would have said, oh man, well, you know, I'll see you the next time. And, you know, might have come up to the hospital, but you would have left with my friends and said, you know, hope that, yeah, I'll call you today. You know, you would have been supportive and all that, but you wouldn't, a normal guy wouldn't have hung around to that extent. I mean, you were sleep deprived, shower deprived, food deprived, liquid deprived. You were all the things that I was. Yeah. And it wasn't even your kid. And so the fact that you were so committed to him already just really just made all the difference, I think, for us and for our relationship. So that's how you met my guys.
Yeah. And well, you can't not immediately love T. He's so funny and affectionate. And
such a big heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't leave him.
And M at that point was 11 or 12. So he was prepubescent, and he always has, well, not always, since the divorce, he's been a harder nut to crack. He used to be open and all of those things that T is, but with the divorce, he went through some things, he heard some things, and was told some things that I don't think were appropriate for a child to hear, but that wasn't my decision, and I had no part of it, the stuff I found out later, that I think kind of closed him off in some ways and saddens me. But because of that, he's not as open and obvious and affectionate, but he still has that. He still has that in him. It's just more protected. And so he thinks you're so cool and just adores you, but doesn't do like T does.
Right.
You know, now he's 16, so forget any kind of affection like you get from T.
Yeah.
But T is now almost the age that M was when you met him.
Yeah.
And T hasn't had that. He was 3 when I divorced his father. And so he doesn't remember. I think he probably has flashes, but he says he doesn't remember ever living with his dad. He only remembers life with me.
Right.
So this isn't, it's new, it's different. But we got together when he was five, six. So that's what he knows.
Yeah.
That's actually his comfort level. So he's more open and accepting of it. For sure. Well, when Chooch met my guys, it was a really big experience, big story. The story of when I met his son, Jay, was much like Chooch. Very laid back, very easygoing. You know.
Very left coast.
Yeah, we went to West Coast and brought the boys so that M, T, and Jay could all meet and so that I could meet Jay and also at the same time meet your mom, who I had not met. I had met your sister.
Right.
But I had not met your mom yet. We had talked on the phone and she and I, it was so funny, all the things that we had in common already. Yeah. We have a love of fairies, favorite color purple. We love all the magic-y unicorn stuff. So we already had a bond.
Yeah. My family's really pretty spread out across the country.
Yeah.
And so I have two sisters and a brother, and one of my sisters was able to make it for our wedding. So they were able to meet.
We had an unusual circumstance with our marriage where we had planned on getting married later. Right. My mother's illness, she was very, very sick with cancer. Mm-hmm. And what she needed for me was, she really needed to see me married. She actually asked us to move. Mm-hmm. She asked us to move the wedding up.
Right.
Because she wasn't sure that she would be here when we had planned the wedding. We had planned the wedding for a year out. She was pretty sure she wasn't going to make it the year and asked us to move it up. So we did.
Yeah.
But it was a very emotional decision. It was very hard because it was basically deciding between, you know, my mom's, you know, quote, dying wish mm-hmm. or including his family, because we couldn't figure out how to do both.
Right.
And so we made the very, very, very difficult decision of having the wedding here mm-hmm. a month after we got engaged.
I was just going to say, it was about a month of planning.
Yeah.
And so one of my sisters was the only one in my family that was able to make it out that short notice. And so she was the first family member that was able to meet.
And she's so much like you. You guys are so laid back, you know, SoCal. It's so awesome. And she definitely, she spoke for the family and welcomed me. And I just got that loving and nurturing and accepted vibe that I hadn't experienced before from people outside of my bloodline. But so that was really awesome.
Yeah. So then a later trip, you were able to meet my mother and and make Jay for the first time.
And your dad.
And my dad and his wife.
His wife. And your niece and her daughter. And it was just, it was really great. We went out there and I was able to twist my mom and dad's arm. They were going to be on the West Coast for a trip. So not only did Chooch, T, M, and I fly out there, but we went out there and visited for a few days. And then my parents visited and met your mom and met Jay. And we spent a day at Disney. And then we spent another day at the beach and, and having fun. So everybody, you know, my parents got to meet Jay and your mom and your sister and all of that. They didn't get to meet your dad and your stepmom.
Right.
But, you know,
and it so was this great. Was about 8 months after we got married. So obviously Viv's mom had made it through that bout with cancer. And
thankfully she had more time.
And I was so happy that my family was able to meet her and meet your dad, and because I had just loved her so much. You know, I was marrying you to get to her.
Yeah.
So, and then the short time I had known her, we had an amazing relationship.
And
I adored her.
We are getting off topic.
Yeah.
This is an emotional subject for us, which we'll cover another time.
Yeah.
My mom's no longer with us, but we were talking about meeting Jay for the first time. And he is such a little amazing light. He's just this amazing, loving and open kid. You know, he's just inquisitive and clever and kind. And so I was so nervous meeting him. And I think the only saving grace for me was my boys, M&T, because it was like we rented a minivan because, you know, there were going to be five of us and we were going to be, you know, going all over the place and seeing all kinds of things, visiting family. And we made this trip into a big one where we went to amusement parks 3 days. And it was just a whirlwind. We wanted to do all these fun things and make it really exciting for him. And he was how old? Five.
He was five.
Yeah. So I'm sure he doesn't remember most of that. And but he did have a lot of fun. He and T bonded so intensely.
Oh,
it was just so great. I've got these, my favorite pictures. I don't know if they're my very favorite, very top five favorite pictures from that trip, which we took hundreds of pictures, was walking behind T and J as we're going through the amusement park and they're holding hands like they had been raised together. It was so sweet. Those, I just, love those pictures. So, We had a great visit. It was very stressful. Your ex-wife was welcoming to us. She came out and met me and met the boys and was, you know, not, really nice and friendly and, you know, all of those things, which made it easier for Jay. So I'm really grateful to her for that, because that was a transition. You know, I didn't know what to expect or what to hope for. It was just kind of like swinging through the air, not knowing what was going to happen next, which is how you felt when you met my boys.
Absolutely.
So I think that, I mean, in the case with your family, as always seems to be the case, it was very calm and fun and easygoing. And with my family, it was chaotic and, you know, heart attack inducing and just scary thrill ride and very it's just crazy. I still feel like I need therapy after that month in January, but it was, as strange as it is, the very different approaches that we took to the two different, you know me meeting Jay and you meeting T and M. It worked out beautifully, I think. I'm still very sad that Jay wasn't at our wedding. That is something that I'll never get over. I wish that we had him there for that. I wish that it would have made any sense in the world for him to fly across the country to meet a total stranger at your wedding. Right. That would have scared him, I think, pretty bad. And we literally could not afford to fly all of us out to California. My mother was too sick to fly. And it's one of those things where it's a balance of, I'm so sad that Jay wasn't there. He was so young, he wouldn't have remembered it, but he would have been in the pictures. You know, he would have had that, you know, he would have been there, and we had planned, we wanted to wait a year so that he would get time to know us. And then we wanted to do this whole family blending commitment ceremony with the boys, all of us exchanging something that bonded us as a family, and we had to scrap all of that. But the look on my mom's face, because she thought we were still going to fly out there and do it, and that she wouldn't be able to go because she was unable to fly because of her illness. So the look on her face when we told her we're moving the wedding up, and she was so happy. And then we said, and we're thinking about, you know, and we told her the date. And she was like, that's wonderful. And so then it was, well, you know, you got to help me plan it because that's less than a month away. And the look on her face when she realized that she was going to get to go. So as painful as it was that Jay wasn't there, it was one of those things that we had to do. It was a choice we made. And him being five, it wouldn't have meant anything to him. It would have been scary. Who are all these people? Why am I standing up here in a monkey suit? What the heck? And for my mother, it was something that gave her so much joy. That she needed to know that I was okay. That I was going to be okay. So,
beautiful wedding.
It was, it was my favorite wedding that I've ever been to in my whole life. Of all the weddings I've been to, it was amazing.
So that's the story of how we got started and how we got our blender running. We had one piece of feedback this week from Doug at Geek Acres.
Yay, feedback!
Who's a self-described 30-something geek husband and dad.
It's like you.
Yeah, pretty much. He's got a great podcast. I've been listening to it for a little while, and pretty short each week. Talk about media, talk about geek parenting. And out.
Nice.
And fun stuff. Let's hear what Doug had to say.
All right.
Let's see. Corsage, cummerbund, dad's car keys, but will it blend? Oh, wait. No, no. That's a totally different podcast altogether. Hey, guys. It's Doug from the Geek Acres podcast. And after hearing one of your recent episodes, it reminded me of an amusing story of my junior prom. I went with a young lady who did not go to our school district, but double dated with two other friends who did. And so I went and picked her up earlier in the weekend, and then the two of us went and picked up my male friend, and then we went and picked up his date. Now, he went and knocked on the door, and as he went in through the door, he said, "Oh my gosh." And then I was second in line, so I proceeded into the door and said, "Oh no." And so by this point, my date is really just curious, like, "Oh my gosh, what's going on?" And here, these two girls who had never met and lived, you know, quite a good distance from each other, turned out not only did they have the same style of dress, but the same color dress. I mean, it was as if they were cloned or something. So, yes, all evening long, we did answer the question, "Hey, did you guys plan?" No planning whatsoever involved. But at any rate, it was a neat evening, and it's still probably one of my favorite prom memories. Hope you guys have a good week. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Well, thanks for sharing, Doug. That's quite a story.
I love how the guys were immediately worried because the dresses mm-hmm. were the same. That standard fear of girls can't be dressed the same at the same event. Mm-hmm. I love how that kind of carried through. And can I just say that I loved hearing someone say "blend" in reference to us. That just gave me a little thrill. Thanks for calling in with that, Doug. Really glad you're listening. And I'm going to have to check out your podcast because Jeech says it's pretty gosh darn good. And so I'm going to have to give it a listen and see if I can understand any of the technology stuff. Well, just give me and Jeech something to talk about. He can explain it to me.
He doesn't get too techie. It's
oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. That soothes my nerves. So what was that? That was Geek Acres?
GeekAcres.net.
GeekAcres.net. Thanks again, Doug. Hope to hear from you again soon. And anybody else out there, please give us feedback.
Absolutely.
We'd love to hear from you.
Next week, we're going to stick on this theme and talk about the extended family and how they all got brought in together.
We talked about a little bit here and mm-hmm. there. There's more of a story to be told.
Mm-hmm. And we will have some news next week.
Movie review.
Movie review this last week. And we actually saw Martian Child, which unfortunately may be out of theaters by the time you see it. Although it did make the number 10 in all of the movies last mm-hmm. week. And so it looked like it was moving out quick. But hopefully it'll still be around. Because the quick reviews, I really liked it. Save that for next week.
Yeah, it was good. Go see it. But we'll talk about it next week. See John Cusack. Well, you can't because it's good.
Yeah.
Try not to fall in love with that kid. I dare you.
I think that's about it this week.
I think that's it for us. You guys have a great week, and we'll talk to you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Into the Blender.
You can find information, comment on episodes, and subscribe to the podcast at intotheblender.com.
You can send us email to feedback@intotheblender.com.
This podcast is released under a Creative Commons, non-commercial, no derivatives 3.0 license.
You are free to make copies and share this podcast to your heart's content.
Just not modify or make money from it.
Rachel.
Sally.